From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, appeared in court on Thursday morning and made a surprising guilty plea to a charge by the special counsel's investigative team. According to Associated Press, he is, quote, pleading guilty to lying to Congress about work he did on a Trump real estate deal in Russia, and that he, quote, admitted to making false statements in 2017 to the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence about a plan to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. Earlier this year, Mr. Cohen had pled guilty to charges that involved bank fraud and election interference. The news comes a day after the New York Times published that former Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort's lawyers had briefed the president's attorneys during the period that Manafort was being questioned. The breach of secrecy is likely the reason why Robert Mueller's team made a court filing on Monday saying that Manafort had broken the terms of his plea agreement. There is speculation that Manafort's lawyers spoke to Trump's lawyers in hopes of a presidential pardon. Trump has been increasingly jittery about the special counsel investigation, posting a barrage of incoherent and desperate-sounding tweets filled with misinformation, indicating his fear over what may be revealed. We turn to Kevin Gostola, managing editor of Shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast, Unauthorized Disclosure, and he's been one of our go-to guests on this story. Welcome back to the program, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's first talk about Cohen, since that's the latest news. This is the second round of charges and guilty pleas, I suppose, after ones that took place earlier this year. It seems as though this particular guilty plea that he's making on this charge indicates in very clear terms that he was working on behalf of Trump's interests, business interests in Russia.
Yeah, that seems to be what the plea, the second plea agreement here would be confirming. And what I would add is that back in May, this was actually reported by BuzzFeed, by Jason Leopold and Anthony Cormier. They did a feature story that documented this dealings that went on around the Trump Tower that was planned. It would have been, I think they were going to call it the Trump World Tower in Moscow. It was to be the tallest building on the Asian continent, if it had been constructed. And as is typical for these properties, Trump wanted his name emblazoned on it if it were to be built. And so there were a number of details in this report that came out in May that essentially Mueller is confirming through this agreement. I mean, and for the most part, we now know that it is probably true that over the course of months up leading up to January 2016, the end of January 2016, that there were conversations going on. There was Michael Cohen. There was another individual named Felix Satter who was involved in the sort of deal, this business dealings, trying to get this project underway. And if you go all the way up to when the Republican National Convention happened in the summer, if you go all the way up to then, you have evidence that around May there were conversations going on with Cohen and Trump talking about whether Donald was going to go to Russia after the convention to probably have further discussions about the construction of this project. So definitely it parallels. As he was rising as a candidate, he was also pursuing this venture to build this tower in Russia.
The Democrats have now said that Cohen should basically present new testimony following this guilty plea. But like Manafort, Cohen has shown that he will lie when he needs to lie. I mean, Trump basically surrounded himself with a bunch of liars.
Yeah, one of the things that's really difficult about covering this, I don't know if you could call it a scandal, but there's something deeper about it. I just call it this tangled web of corruption and these business dealings that continues to make news. One of the difficulties is trying to discern who's telling the truth and who isn't telling the truth. I think it's really difficult for some of these reporters who are working sources to know if what they're being shopped are rumors or if it's some kind of confirmation of what is actually happening with the Mueller investigation. The way that some of these headlines take on a force of their own, you can see them dominate a 24-hour news cycle, and then you can see in just a day or two that they become confirmed as being false. And then you can become aware that some of the figures involved, whether it involves the actual investigation that's ongoing or whether it involves some of the more, I guess you could use the word ancillary, parts of this where they're sort of tangentially related, but they don't really relate to any of the more serious crimes that are possibly under investigation. Well, it seems like you're being spun. It seems like figures are going on television and they're obfuscating and they're lying, and it just becomes rather overwhelming. So I think the point here is that Michael Cohen, whether he does come testify before Congress again, and whether it's public or in a closed session, how do you believe what he is saying to those senators or to those representatives? Because if the story isn't consistent all along the way, you know, it's tough to believe. You know, if he had his come to moment where he was going to tell the truth, it seemed like that moment was months and months and months ago. But if there's something that he still hasn't been forthright about, it becomes really difficult for people to take him seriously.
But this specific guilty plea was about over lies regarding Trump's interest in Russia. But Trump has made it over and over again clear that he had no business interests in Russia, especially in 2016, going into the convention and into the election. So Michael Cohen has now gone on the record accepting a guilty plea on an issue that directly contradicts what the president has publicly said. Whether or not Michael Cohen is to be trusted, there needs to be some, you know, proof, one would imagine, or at least some demand from Trump to refute what Cohen has said.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the most important thing. So if you've got a federal investigation that is putting this down, and he's going to face consequences because of the fact that he wasn't being honest with federal agents, that's a problem. And Donald Trump, you can show that he's being false just by the basis that he's lying, just by the basis that this has been unfolding on Thursday, November 29th. And so it's important for people to just recognize that matters. Especially to the extent that he was hoping to benefit from these sort of business dealings by becoming president, that definitely is a layer of corruption that deserves attention.
Let's talk about what took place around Manafort just earlier this week. I mean, it now seems like such a long time ago since the Cohen revelations, but it was just on Monday that the special counsel made a court filing saying that Manafort had violated the terms of his plea deal. And then the New York Times revealed what that was over. And it was around the fact that, and this is just so stunning to me, that at the same time that Manafort was being questioned by Mueller, his lawyers were talking to Trump's lawyers and presumably sharing information about the investigation. And Trump's own attorney, Rudy Giuliani, just openly admitted, yeah, we were trying to get information on where the special counsel was looking at. This just doesn't seem right. I mean, that, you know, obviously Manafort screwed up in it was his plea agreement, but Trump's lawyers also, you know, because Trump is under investigation too, it seems as though this should hang over Trump's head.
I suppose it shows the audacity of the Trump legal team, which has been on display throughout the last year, maybe in the most cartoonish sense through figures like Rudy Giuliani, who will go on television, but they really do seem to believe that they can engage in any kind of behavior that they would want. And ultimately, they're going to be able to survive because I believe their stance is that Robert Mueller cannot indict the president. And so anything that they're doing to protect other people, to protect people who they might still be using, who are valuable to their agenda, well, they're willing to commit these kinds of acts. And I'm not a lawyer, but definitely what Manafort's lawyers were doing, essentially acting as informants, collecting information from the federal government that could then be passed back to Donald Trump. You know, not only does this ruin basic organization in the government and the executive branch, where you have the Justice Department and certain officials who do have ties to Trump very closely. They were recused, like Jeff Sessions being recused. So you're undermining that. But, you know, not only do you have that, you have that they are effectively trying to guard against the federal investigation having any sort of impact. So by giving warning to people, potentially, I would imagine, or knowing ahead of time that they're going to need to be prepared, so then they could put together their own sort of damage control as to whether they would like to back them or maybe abandon them completely, as has happened to a few individuals. There are people who, in this long saga that we've been following, are not people that the president really wants to talk to or have anything to do with anymore. And I imagine the heads up that they could get from Manafort's attorneys would make them decide, would help them decide whether they wanted to risk their reputation on defending these people.
Now, all of this has happened around the same time that Trump announced that he had delivered his written answers to Mueller's questions. And some are speculating that Mueller may have played Trump and Manafort, that Mueller may have known that Manafort's lawyers briefed Trump's lawyers and that Trump's answers may contain, you know, information that reveals that that his answers were based on what he found out from Manafort. That this may basically be Mueller smartly playing these two figures against one another. I don't know if you've heard that sort of speculation.
Yeah, I've seen the speculation. I hesitate to join in it, but the significance of that, if it were true, and it's definitely plausible, the significant thing here that is at issue is whether Donald Trump and Manafort and all of these people actually have a story that they've all decided they're going to go with, that they were going to tell the federal government, or that they were going to tell Robert Mueller about what was happening as everything unfolded. And if they had this story, it's strongly possible, especially given the sort of plea agreements we've seen, where you've got people who are going to jail for lying, or they're waiting to be sentenced for lying to agents or prosecutors. It's strongly possible that these were falsehoods that were put down on paper, that the story, the narrative that they're telling, is not the truth or the full truth. And so there is a layer of obstruction of justice that is going on. And that's significant. I think that's really important. You know, to the extent that Donald Trump is not being forthright in this investigation, he himself is actually prolonging the very thing that he's ranting and raving about on November 29th through his Twitter. I don't think that Trump, you know, if he really truly believes that there's no evidence of collusion between Russia and his campaign, or Russian agents and his campaign, that would be fine if that was true. But it makes the sort of conduct that he's engaged in makes it hard to believe that the Mueller investigation isn't finding something. And maybe they're finding something that has nothing to do with collusion, but it certainly seems like in the process of the investigation, there is criminal conduct that is being uncovered that frightens Donald Trump.
Right. And just to, going back to the issue of Manafort versus Cohen, you can also see the way in which Trump is sort of engaging in his usual wheeling and dealing that he's been so used to doing as a businessman. Michael Cohen, he called him weak. Meanwhile, on Manafort, he did not rule out a presidential pardon, which is likely a reward to Manafort for coming and, you know, spilling the beans about the investigation. And so he's in many are pointing to this being clear evidence of corruption, that it just would be unconstitutional to pardon Manafort if that were to indeed happen. It seems as though Trump is also trying to create discredit the investigation so deeply that we might become immune to when he finally does fire Mueller or have his surrogate in the Justice Department, Matthew Whitaker, fire Mueller? Or do you think that wouldn't be accepted, that no one takes Trump's rantings and ravings about Mueller seriously?
I do think that if Mueller was fired, that it would have there would be quite a backlash from both political parties. Now, whether any sort of decisive action was taken by leadership, say particularly Mitch McConnell, or whether there were individuals in the Justice Department at leadership positions who decided to resign, or whether there were even any people inside the White House who decided to protest, I think that's an open question. Definitely, though, we've seen a lot of leaks. We've seen that throughout this investigation, there are people with various stakes in what ultimately unfolds or what is the ultimate outcome, and they've been leaking to the press. And so I think whatever would happen, we would find out the truth. We would know exactly why Donald Trump believed he could get away with firing Robert Mueller and doing something that both political parties were trying to protect him from doing, were trying to block him from doing. They believe, the executive does, that they should not be scrutinized in this way, that they should not be controlled, that they should not be handled and prevented from being able to make these kinds of decisions. Senator Mike Lee put the block on the legislation that was moving through the Senate, saying that it probably violates the separation of powers. I'm not going to try to argue or debate that out here because I think it would take a lot of time. But the important thing is just to say that they really believe that they're above any sort of check from the legislative branch when it comes to Mueller. I think that's the attitude of the White House, is that, you know, whether we fire Mueller or not, that's going to be a public relations decision. You're not going to prevent us from firing Robert Mueller because you think you have some authority within the Constitution to check our executive power. And that is a theme that we've seen in our politics running through the last 5, 10, 20 years in the U.S. You can go all the way back to Bush, where it became the most pernicious that actions from Congress were not going to get in the way of what you could call the imperial presidency. And certainly Trump is taking it to new heights in the way that he handles himself during this Mueller investigation.
Yeah, well, let's also see, of course, how it plays out around this particular piece of legislation. The Republicans a year ago, Mitch McConnell had said that there would be no way that he would tolerate the firing of Jeff Sessions. And of course, then Jeff Sessions was fired, replaced by a very openly partisan, unbiased person in Matthew Whitaker, and Mitch McConnell is perfectly happy with it. He's perfectly fine with it. It seems as though the only person among the Republican Party willing to stand up to Trump's shenanigans on the Mueller investigation is the outgoing Senator Jeff Flake, whose tenure ends in a month.
So a general point to make about all of this and why Republicans may not have much of an appetite for doing anything is because the conservative media has been this echo chamber that has been repeating and spreading everything that Donald Trump has said, and in fact, reinforcing and usually engaging in a kind of whataboutism, in the sense that they will reference cases against Hillary Clinton or potential cases that they believe that could have existed that maybe are lying dormant and the Justice Department never pursued them against the Clinton Foundation. They promote these stories that suggest that there is some kind of democratic corruption that has gone unpunished. And it's unfair that Donald Trump is facing the sort of focus and intense investigation that he has endured for the last couple of years, nearly 2 years now. And so I think that's an important thing to raise, because within all of this, there's been a lot of focus on the way Russia influenced the 2016 election, the way that people in Russia may have been trying to influence the media. But I've said this, I think I might have said this on the show before, I've said this when talking about this, I believe it's really important to focus on what happened and not ignore the role that conservative media was playing in pushing the same kinds of messages that we're talking about that we usually have sourced to Russia, but really have a lot of roots deep in the conservative media that has been on the rise in the last couple of decades, and their pernicious effect on our electoral politics and on our discourse, the way we talk about our elections. That's something that I think Donald Trump has been able to wield to great effect in order to try and insulate himself from any sort of consequence as a result of Mueller's investigation.
Finally, Kevin, I feel like we've used this headline many times on our show, which is that Mueller's net is closing in around Trump. But this investigation has now gone on for a very long time, more than a year and a half. Do you think we're finally at the end point or close to the end point?
I'm not going to be the one that makes some kind of prediction on the show here and says in 2 or 3 months we're going to finally get the last round of indictments and then Donald Trump is going to find that he's one of them or something else. I believe that there are a lot of progressives who are looking for confirmation that a lot of what they've believed about this election is true. And I've always been a skeptic. And so I suppose the point that I'll leave people who are following this is that there's a lot of people who want Donald Trump to take the fall for corruption that has that he is engaged in, corrupt behavior. I don't know if he committed acts in the form that has been the focus of our discussions. I do think, though, that he has done things that are criminal. And what remains to be seen is whether our system is one where it will punish the president for engaging in obstruction of justice, engaging in perjury, engaging in this sort of sabotage or the undermining of processes that there seems strong evidence out there has actually occurred.
I mean, what you were saying, all of those words you were throwing out, such as perjury, obstruction of justice, those seem to be much more clear-cut than the Russia collusion story that, you know, many liberals have wanted to believe in. My view from looking at the story has been that Trump had really wanted to ingratiate himself to Putin because he wanted business interests in Russia, and Putin saw that and played him, as opposed to Putin directly interfering to install Trump so that he could manipulate the country. Maybe some version of that is true to an extent. We don't really know, but it seems like there isn't quite as much evidence of that. And interestingly enough, Trump canceled just this week. The G20 is meeting in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and Trump was scheduled to meet with Putin and at the last minute canceled that meeting after the Michael Cohen plea agreement became news. Not clear if he made that decision based on the Cohen story, but certainly seems suspicious. Kevin, maybe we'll have you back on in a couple of months to talk about the House starting impeachment proceedings based on what Mueller has found out. Who knows? Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Kevin Gostola is managing editor of Shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. We've been discussing the latest in the Mueller investigation. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.